Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Army Real Talk. Today's episode will showcase two organizations that are in place to empower and build resilience of our soldiers, active duty as well as veterans. We will first speak with folks from the Military Basketball Association and then have a discussion with the CEO of Operation Song. So sit back and enjoy this podcast.
So let's get the conversation rolling with the Military Basketball Association. Doug, can you start us off?
My name is Doug Harris. I am the president of the Pikes Peak chapter of the Association of the United States Army. We are here in Colorado Springs, Colorado, very close to Fort Carson, Colorado. And we have the entire southern portion of Colorado as our area of responsibility. And we do a lot of things together with the Denver Centennial chapter that has the northern part of the state.
Excellent. So thank you, Doug, for your military service as well as being a chapter president with AUSA. And you are a long-term member. Very nice. I also must state that I heard wonderful things about you during the Operation Deploy Your Dress event. Thea Green as well as Patty Barron sang your praises. So thank you. And Major Meyer, please share a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Absolutely. My name is Major Michael Myers II. I am currently the Rear Detachment Commander for the 4th Security Forces Assistance Brigade on Fort Carson. As a volunteer, I am the Commissioner for the Military Basketball Association, which includes 3 direct conferences and then 2 other independent conferences, as well as NBA efforts in Korea and in NBA Europe as well. So a lot of stuff that we are doing as volunteer military basketball coaches around the world for our organization, which is a nonprofit, and that's been registered here in the state of Colorado.
Very nice. And I actually ran across an article, I believe it was in the Fort Carson Mountaineer, and it talked about you as well as the NBA, which, of course, we'll discuss about in length in a moment. But I see that you're from Tacoma Park, Maryland, correct?
I am. I was born at Washington Adventist Hospital in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Excellent. So I'm naturally a Marylander, so I was happy to see that. And funny enough, I was born at Fort Carson. So I was like, okay, there go a connection. But let's go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really cool. So let's go ahead into the questions, and I'm going to let my co-host move forward with popping off the first few questions.
Mike, please tell us about NBA's mission and vision.
Basically, what we do is we provide volunteer basketball coaches and players, an organization that promotes the military athlete, and we also look to assist various sports offices in different armed forces services. The association is governed by, 10 board members and the group of commissioners. Myself, I'm the commissioner. Jason LaPaciano, Coach Acevedo, and Coach James Jones, all retired Army and 1 Marine, are the board of commissioners. And then we have 10 board members that are spread out across the country. We look to promote and assist NBA Europe and NBA Korea. Those are about 10 or 12 other teams that are coming on board. And what's so great about the NBA and how it draws back to Colorado Springs is every year the Military Basketball Association hosts an installation final. And so what we do is we look at how these coaches perform and do well in their conference tournaments across the country. And these are all volunteer coaches. And so as they do this, they're, racking up wins or losses. And the top 2 from each conference get invited to Colorado Springs. And so what we look to do is determine who the best installation champion is. And now for this year, it'll be across the world because we'll be inviting teams from Europe and we'll be inviting teams from Korea. So what you have in essence is a world installation championship that's being run by all volunteer folks. And so, as this moves forward and starts to grow and get bigger, the impact for PTSI, which is what you kind of talked about, well, I guess we'll talk about that later, are tremendous because the NBA is impacting soldiers on a volunteer basis, on a volunteer effort across the world. So that's just a little bit kind of putting the NBA in kind of a smaller package if I can in, you know, less than a minute or two. But that's what we do, and we've been going strong for the last 2.5 years, looking at year three, and we have over 60 teams across the world.
Wow, that's a great explanation and background on the organization. I think this is truly beneficial to all service members, no matter where they're located, if they're a soldier, airman, marine, sailor. That is great to see. Can you talk about things that your organization would like to do in the near term and in the future? Like, where do you want to take the NBA?
Absolutely. So, you know, what we did last year was amazing, with having the first Hall of Fame ceremony for, you know, some of these retired and military basketball coaches who have been coaching for like 40 years. So some of these coaches have been coaching longer than I've even been alive. And so it was an awesome thing to see how to honor them. And so we've, you know, the Hall of Fame is one avenue that we're looking to try and honor some of these folks that have been forgotten, because when you volunteer, you're not getting paid for anything. So we wanted to give some type of consolation for so many years of hard work. Second, we know that, you know, just because of funding constraints, MWR and some of the services that MWR provides, or some of these sports programs provide, they've been getting cut. And so what the NBA is trying to do is fill the gap, and then also demonstrate to various agencies within DOD that basketball is out there, it's happening, and it's necessary. It's very vital for these programs to exist. And so, you know, typically it takes about $5,000 to run a varsity program, but each service is different as far as how or what they're able to support. And so what we try to do across the country and basically across the world is volunteer our time, our services, and we travel on our own dime to help keep these programs alive. And it's important because as a veteran, you go to war, you fight. MWR is there, and they have great and excellent services for everyone. But with basketball, it's a team sport. It's highly visible. And if you're a soldier and you're not playing basketball, you can go out and you can support the game by being there. And that means you're not in the barracks. You're not drinking. You're not thinking about the things that happened to you during some type of deployment or any bad experience. And so that directly affects some of the things that we feel are necessary and vital to soldier resiliency and actually people who serve's resiliency. And so the NBA looks to promote that. And if we can get funding through our nonprofit and our efforts and some fundraising that we're going to be doing, then those are all different things that we're looking at moving forward. But at the end of the day, it's about the U.S. veteran. And we want to impact the suicide level. And we also want to stop or reduce and treat, if we can, through our services, post-traumatic stress injury, not disorder, but post-traumatic stress injury, because there's nothing wrong with folks who have deployed and that have had and seen some of these terrible things through a deployment, but we want to make sure that we're getting after that, and it's fun. I mean, this is something that everybody can do and everybody supports.
So, Mike, I'm glad you brought that up. Could you share with our listener audience what this organization means to soldiers and how exactly it's helping our soldiers?
Absolutely. So, you know, typically a military basketball coach, they're someone who's retired or they served or continue to serve like myself, and they have a passion for coaching the game of basketball. And so what they do is they're at a particular base and they're coaching a team through the support of MWR or FSS or Navy MWR, but they're doing it for free. And so as they're doing this and performing this type of service, what happens is these sailors and Marines, they come out and they're playing basketball. They're either training towards an effort, you know, obviously to come here to Colorado Springs for a final. But what they're not doing is they're not necessarily thinking about things that directly have affected them through a deployment, which I can attest myself, or, you know, staying put in the barracks, depressed about some type of deployment. So it gives every soldier, sailor, marine, and airman an out to compete, to stay fit, and to support the installation that they're representing. And so has it had a direct effect? Absolutely it has. This summer, we've seen more preseason events and training just to get prepared to come to Colorado Springs and compete in the finals. Everyone wants to be a part of what the NBA is doing. And so our job and our goal is to continue to provide these services, be more organized, and help these coaches continue to perform the duties that they're doing free of charge.
Wow, that's awesome. And I think it speaks volumes about what your program is doing and what the NBA is doing. You know, one of the cornerstones of the military is teamwork. And through teamwork, we build those relationships, and those relationships helps us
Absolutely.
Build those support systems. So that is great. I want to pivot a little bit and just talk about the tournaments itself. Can you talk about some of the events, the tournaments, and the locations where they're held?
Absolutely. So we have come in and there are some tournaments we've created on our own, okay? But we've used the existing system to our benefit and to the benefit of MWR through our promotions through social media. So for instance, you have a tournament right there in Washington, D.C., held at Joint Base Myers-Henderson Hall. It's called the D.C. Capital Classic. It's been going on for quite some time, and we've included that as one of the NBA tournaments that we recognize. There's also a tournament that is held down in Mayport, Florida. It's the Martin Luther King Tournament. That happens, I think Rita Hammerstedt is one of the ones that has founded that tournament. It's an ACNBC tournament, one of our conference tournaments. Teams can go to those tournaments and they get points towards qualification for the NBA Finals. There's another tournament coming up in October, very big one. I'm very proud of our WNBA commissioner, Kimberly Green. She founded the Mariko Gray Tournament. It's going to be held from October 11th to the 14th. It's in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. I believe she's already got 18 teams. And just to give you a kind of a scope and magnitude of what we're talking about, that's 18 potentially military installations coming together in Dallas-Fort Worth to honor a fallen airman, Mariko Gray, who was an all-armed forces and all-air force basketball player who passed away through an illness. And so we've done so much to try and honor him and make sure that he's not forgotten, because he's a pioneer for what we've done. So that's kind of a thing. We have an entire global glide path in which we show coaches and players military basketball tournaments around the world. And the last tournament I'll talk about is one right there in Nellis Air Force Base, the Desert Swarm. It's taking place the same time as the DC Capital Classic. And the reason we put that one forward was because there were teams that just, you know, for logistics reasons, couldn't really get out to Washington, D.C. for the big tournament, the D.C. Capital Classic. So we worked with the FSS there at Nellis Air Force Base, and they're hosting the Desert Swarm. And so now you're going to have so many West Coast teams participating in a tournament at Nellis Air Force Base. So just an entire 8 months of basically from October to end of April, it's military basketball. It's Military Basketball Association supporting the current tournaments and events that are happening across the country and across the world.
You definitely have another supporter here. I'm going to try to make it out to one or two events. I might even pull out my old Jordans and dust them out and try to get on the team.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. That'd be great. They'd love to have you.
All right. They're real dusty, though, I'm telling you. But I'm willing.
That's okay. I've got some old Kobe's that are pretty dusty too, but they still look good.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming out there with the sweatbands and all.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I kind of understand the connection, but I would love to hear from Doug as to how did he get connected with Mike and NBA, and how the Pikes Peak chapter of AUSA got involved with the NBA.
This is kind of a match made in heaven, because what we do is take care of soldiers and families, as you well know. You know, you're the voice for the Army there at the national level for the most part, and out here we got to take care of soldiers and families. And so we saw that with so many veterans that had come back to all of our five military installations here and come back to live in Colorado Springs or just finish out their service here. There's an awful lot that have gone through the post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries and things like that that they suffered. And of course, we all know about the suicide rate with our military veterans and retirees. So we thought when Mike talked to us about his situation, Maybe this is something that we could get into and at least provide an opening, a portal for people to start getting involved in thinking about those kinds of things vis-a-vis basketball and other athletics as a way to alleviate and kind of be an antidote to those problems. Well, one day, I don't know why or who gave him the number, but Mike gave me a call. And I couldn't take the call. I just went on voicemail. But when I heard what he had to say in his voicemail, I said, I got to call this fellow back. We get a lot of calls for a lot of different things, but this one just really excited me for some reason. So I called him back, and we had a great conversation. I asked him that after we got talking, I said, if I bring you into our executive committee, would you be willing to give the same briefing to me to them that you just gave to me? And he said, well, absolutely. And so we set up the meeting, and he brought a couple of his board members, and he can talk about who those folks are and what their role is. He already mentioned their names later if he wants to. But between those three folks that came from the MBA, they sat down and gave us a very professional briefing about what Mike's vision was, about where they were, what they've done up to this point. And so we got excited. So after they left, we had some discussion. Then we did a little bit more vetting of the Military Basketball Association to make sure we didn't, get into something that might get us in trouble later on down the road. We wanted to make sure that the relationships with staff judge advocates and installation commanders and all of that was copacetic. And that all they passed with the green light. So what we decided to do is form this strategic alliance, and we did that on Veterans Day, November 11th of last year, 2018.
Wonderful. I do know that many people here at AUSA National are very pleased about the partnership. And yes, General Swan, he came back very thrilled about the tournament and his experience. So thank you very much for sharing that. One note before we go, I wanted to ask Mike to share with our listener audience a little bit about him being elected as part of the inaugural class of the Military Basketball Association Hall of Fame at the Air Force Academy. Could you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think it was a little premature, but I've been around military basketball I've actually been coaching for 20 years, but I've been around military basketball for about the last 10. And it's been great. I mean, to have my peers in the Hall of Fame committee select me, I think that was outstanding. And, I went in with a very distinguished group of coaches. I'm really, 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 was really, really honored and pleased to have been a part of that. My contributions to military basketball, they've been amazing. What me and a few other coaches have done is we've actually changed the way people approach military basketball, the way they train for it, and also the way they market it. Marketing what you do as a volunteer is incredibly important. And we've taken and used the social media platforms in a professional and positive manner. I accepted the induction, and there are so many other coaches that are out there right now that are definitely Hall of Fame worthy. And so this next class is going to be pretty special because we're going to have a Hall of Fame guest speaker talk to the class that's coming in this year, and they're going to be the recipients of all of the hard work and dedication that most of us have done to try to pave the way. So, and they are going to be well deserved of that as well. So yeah, it's awesome. It's very, very fun, and I'm just glad and thank AUSA for being a part of it, especially General Swan's remarks at the Hall of Fame ceremony. You could tell that he was very touched by all of the volunteer efforts and work. And so I just appreciate that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure that meant a lot to those who were there. That is very awesome. So social media was spoken about many times. So I would love it if both Mike and Doug would provide our listeners with social media
handles and platforms so that if they are interested in learning more about the NBA as well as the Pikes Peak chapter, they know where to go.
Absolutely. So for the NBA, we have our website. It's mynbaglobal.com. You can also reach us on Facebook, and that is Military Basketball Association on Facebook. And we're the number one military basketball website on Facebook as far as that's concerned, as far as installation basketball. On Twitter, I think it's nbaglobal.com, nbaglobal, and we're also on Instagram. But everything we post on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook will automatically pop up on our mynbaglobal.com website. That's how you can reach us for the NBA.
For our media, it's easiest to go just straight to our website. It's very easy. It's AUSAPPC.org. And you can just surf around on there and find out what we did last year and what the opportunities are for 2020. And also you can just click on and get our Facebook there as well.
Very nice. Okay, that's good information. Thank you so much for all the information that you have shared.
Yes, so I'm going to close. I'm going to say a thank you, but I also want to close with saying, you know, it's the same basketball saying, you guaranteed to miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And I definitely think that the NBA is taking those shots and hitting with a high degree of accuracy. And you have some true supporters back here at AUSA with your endeavors. So thank you both for coming out and speaking with us today about the association.
You're most welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That was a really good interview and a lot of good information from the Military Basketball Association. Now let's hear what Operation Song has to say.
So now we are speaking with Robert Regan, CEO and Executive Director of Operation Song. Bob, please share a little bit about yourself as well as some information about Operation Song.
Okay, well, starting with me, I have been in the music business for my whole life and I wore different hats. But in 1985, I moved to Nashville to become a professional songwriter. And I had some success, luckily, blessedly, and I wrote some hits in the 90s and into the 2000s by artists such as Keith Urban, Trisha Yearwood, Jake Owen, Reba McEntire, a lot of artists. I was one of the fortunate ones that was actually able to keep the lights on by writing songs for other artists, but not myself. In the 2000s, I guess, starting in about 2006, I had the opportunity to perform at military bases around the world for Armed Forces Entertainment. It was a band of songwriters, myself and some other friends who had written hit songs. We would go over to different military bases and play our songs. It was very well received, and many of the servicemen and women would come up and be very curious about songwriting and the process of songwriting and what would it be like to write a song, or I've always wanted to write a song. And so my thought was, well, what would happen if we put these professional songwriters, such as myself and my friends, together with veterans, active duty military, and their families to help them tell their stories in songs? And that was the genesis of Operation Song.
So, Bob, will you share a little bit more about your mission, dive a little bit deeper, sharing the vision of your organization?
Well, our mission, as stated, is to empower veterans, active duty military, and their families to tell their stories through the process of songwriting. And it's really a very one-on-one focus. And I guess that's our overarching mission. Really, our mission is just to take this program, which started out with just an idea and very localized in Nashville, Tennessee, because that's where I live and that's where the songwriters that I know live, and to try to find a way to reach as many veterans as possible. And we're working on that. We've just from our humble beginnings at the VA hospital in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, we've now written probably 750 songs with veterans of World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, Desert Storm, spouses, kids, parents, you name it. It's very well received, and so we're trying to find a way to serve as many as want to take advantage of the services, knowing that just because of our location and our kind of the one-on-one relationship that happens in the program, that it's, we're probably not going to be able to expand to 1,000 songs a year around the country, but we'd love to. Backing up a little bit, I'm not a psychologist, but here's what I think happens with songwriting. Like anybody who has their struggles and their challenges and their triumphs and that make up their story, but sometimes the person who's living the story is not the most reliable narrator of that story. But in this process, we just get people talking, and it's the process is completely non-threatening. We don't write a song for the soldier or veteran. We just say, tell me your story. And then just once you get people talking, they always get around to what's important to them. And the songwriters, all of whom have written for many, many years and have been very successful doing this, have antenna, and they can hear lines and phrases in a story that say, oh, that sounds like a line. That's the big idea. So that's going to be the chorus. And this little bit of detail, that's great. That's going to go in the verse. And you can take someone's story when they just sit there and all they think they're doing is just talking and telling their story. And they are. But meantime, the songwriter is sorting it out into verses and choruses. And when you take that and hang it kind of on a narrative arc, not to get too technical, and then sing it back to people, it's very disarming. It takes people aback and they go, oh my God, that's exactly what I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say it. So that's the value of this, I think.
So where would listeners go to hear these songs? Is there a platform or outlet they can tap into?
The central location is our website, www.operationsong.org. And what I didn't know when I started this, but I know now, if any website has .org behind it, it means it's a nonprofit. So just go to operationsong.org. From there, you can link to our YouTube page, and you can also just go to YouTube and search for Operation Song. We have a lot of songs up there, and what's cool about our YouTube page is that we encourage the veterans to make little slideshow videos of their songs. Someone called it a force multiplier. You know, it's one thing to have to listen to the song, but then when you take slides that they give us and we help them put these little slideshow videos together, it's very compelling. So that's on YouTube. Also, if you go to SoundCloud/ mm-hmm. Operation Song, we probably have 75 to 80 songs there. And also our Facebook page. If anybody's listening and they want to learn more, we try to have a couple new songs every week up on our Facebook page. That's just Facebook Operation Song. And we have features. We have New Music Monday, which I need to be posting right now, but I'm talking on the phone. We try to post at least one new song, maybe two every week, just to make sure that we cover the full spectrum of all the people we serve.
Bob, how can an individual that's interested in assisting join these efforts?
Go to the website, listen to some of the songs, and if you are active duty, veteran, it doesn't matter. We've written so many songs at this point that I bet there's a song in there that tells your story, whether you're a military, you know, active duty, a veteran, retired, spouse, child. We've got dozens of songs written from every perspective. Well, I say every perspective every time I think we've told it all. I'll hear the next story I hear, I go, oh man, I never knew that.
That's outstanding. I would definitely share this information with my friends, family, and colleagues and let them know about your extraordinary program. Speaking of family, how can family members get involved with this program and these events?
Absolutely. We have a couple of designated, we work since our proximity to Fort Campbell. We work with the USO up there and the Fort Campbell Spouses Club, and we do spouses retreats a couple times a year. And those are very rewarding and very gratifying, and we call them the heroes behind the heroes. And it's kind of funny sometimes the active duty might be a little hesitant to open up and share their story. Trust me, the spouses have no such hesitation. Say, so tell me about yourself. An hour later, you go, okay. Yeah. So we also do programs We partnered with an organization in Middle Tennessee called A Soldier's Child, and they work with children, Gold Star children, and we've done several of those retreats. I mean, this last week we did a program at Middle Tennessee State University with their veterans and families there. We wrote with mother of a soldier who just came back, and she was trying to process how to relate to him now that he was back from his third deployment. The song was called Camouflage, and she was talking about how he didn't want to talk and how he was putting on his brave face. And the line in the song was, but a mom can always see through camouflage. So we try to write from every perspective we can, spouses, kids, with parents. We've written with Gold Star parents to help them honor their children that they've lost. And it's an effective way for people to help tell their stories and to validate their feelings and honor someone else. That happens a lot. People want to write songs to honor someone else.
Speaking of families, as well as military spouses, I had an opportunity to listen to a song on your website titled The Mistress. Now, when I first saw this title, I was like, The Mistress? Little concerning, as I am a wonderful wife. But then I continued to read, and I realized the discussion in the song was based on spouses, military spouses, feeling that they sometimes have to share their husband with the Army or with the military service they are affiliated with. It was really touching, very much empowering, and I know that it validated those listeners who feel the same way. So really, really great song, good information.
Yes, if you go to a song I might recommend, and I could recommend songs all day long, but there's a beautiful duet called The Same War that was written with a military spouse and then her husband, who was still active duty, called The Same War, and it's a duet, and they both sing the song from their perspective about the phone calls, you know, where I tell you everything, but I leave a lot out. He's calling from being deployed, and he's saying, oh, everything's fine over here. Don't worry about me. When mortars are going, you know, covering the receiver to shield the sound of mortar fire. And she's on the other line, oh, we're doing fine. We love you. Everything's right here. When, you know, the water heater just went out and the car brakes need to be redone. They don't have the money. So there's that little dance that military couples do. But the song is called The Same War, and that's on our SoundCloud page. And I can send you links to these once we're done.
Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us about Operation Song. Thank you for what you do in empowering and building resilience for our soldiers, active duty, as well as veterans. We really learned a lot, and we'll continue to learn more about Operation Song.
Bob, I'd like to thank you for your service in support of our soldiers, our family members, and to this country. Operation Song is truly a great endeavor, and I look forward to learning more about it and getting further involved with it. Thank you.
So listeners, I hope you truly enjoyed our Empowerment and Resilient podcast, focusing on the Military Basketball Association and Operation Song. Good information, and hopefully you will look into their websites as well as their Facebook page. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to Army Matters on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else podcasts are found. You can also find us at ausa.org/podcast.
Keep it locked here for all Army Matters and for next week's episode with Family Voices featuring Miss Patty Barron. AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army, and support for the soldiers.
For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit ausa.org. And remember to have a great Army Day.
Hooah!